For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.
So first of all, tonight's session is dedicated by Judy Garber in memory of her parents, Shana Bas Ayalev. Is it Shana or Shana? Shana. Shana Bas Ayalev and Yisrael Ben Yaakov. They are known also as Jeanette and Isidore Wolper. And we appreciate that, and may their memories be a blessing for you and the family and all of us. Got a very heavy topic tonight. Question of the chosen people. And I thought that I would begin by sharing an old joke about the chosen people. You were familiar with the Medrash that's going to be found in your source material. The Medrash in Sefer Devarim, the beginning of the book of Deuteronomy, in which the Medrash says, Hofia Mehar Paran. The passage says that God revealed himself in Mount Paran, which is not in northwest Atlanta. And there the Medrash describes the attempt of a God to present the Torah to different nations of the world. Familiar with that Medrash? So there's a variation of that Medrash that says that he went to one nation and asked them if they would accept the Torah. And they said, what do we have to do? And he said, you have to follow my commandments. They said, well, what does it say? So he said, it says, don't steal. So one nation said, we can't live with that. Goes to another nation, what do we have to do? You have to follow my commandments. And they said, well, what are they? Well, don't commit adultery. We can't live with that, etc. Very similar to the Medrash. Finally, he comes to the Jews, and he said, will you accept my Torah? And the Jews said, what do we have to do? And he said, you have to keep my commandments. And they said, how much do they cost? And he said, they're free. They said, we'll take 10. So that's how the Jewish people were chosen. Now, we are fortunate that we do live at a time when we can actually talk about being chosen and actually laugh for a moment. Because being chosen has not really been such a wonderful experience. Being chosen has really meant almost everything but. I'm going to read you a piece of a satire that I hope you will not be too sensitive to. But this really says it in a certain humorous way. What it's like to be the chosen people. So here's a satirical article, a news article, entitled, a headline, God names next chosen people. It's Jews again. Oy vey, say the Jews. Dateline Jerusalem. Jews, whose troubled 10,000-year term as God's chosen people finally expired last night, woke up this morning to find that they had once again been handpicked by the Almighty. Synagogues across the globe declared a day of mourning. Asked if the descendants of Abraham shouldn't be pleased about being tapped for an unprecedented second term, Jerusalem Rabbi Ben Meyerson shrugged. Of course you're right. We should be thrilled, he said. We should also enjoy a good swift kick in the head, but for some reason we don't. Now, don't ask such questions until you watch the news or read history or at least read Fiddler on the Roof. And I'm skipping a little bit here. According to a worldwide survey of faiths, not a single group expressed an interest in being chosen. And the only application submitted before last night's filing deadline on behalf of the Islamic people proved to be a fake. Somebody filled out a form and signed our name to it, but I guarantee it wasn't us, said Imam Yusuf al-Muhammad of Medina, Saudi Arabia. I'm not going to say who it was, but the application was filled out in Hebrew. Oh, don't be such a kvetch, responded Meyerson. It's only 10,000 years, trust me. After a few diaspora, you would have gotten used to the universal hatred thing. Then he goes on, skipping a little bit. He says they went to a guy named Elias Contro, director of the International Interfaith Working Group. Said he wasn't surprised that it came to a blind drawing that God did. According to the Bible, God promised to bless Abraham and those who came after him. Who knows, maybe that sounded good at the time, or maybe blessed meant something different back then, like short periods of prosperity interrupted by insufferable friggin' chaos. Whatever. I think it's safe to say that people didn't know what they were agreeing to. Now they do, he said, which he said explains why so many religions had lately been exalting God's existence, but downplaying their own. We're not avoiding him. We just told our parishioners that if anyone asks, we're out, insisted Archbishop of Canterbury, Dr. George Carey, who called off services during the entire month of February. Besides, we're not the only ones. I didn't see the Hindus raising their hands either, etc., etc. So it goes on, obviously expressing the sentiment that being chosen is not necessarily the greatest thing and certainly has caused us a tremendous amount of suffering over a period of time. So what is this chosen business? And of course we know that in our society it's not really very popular to be chosen. It sounds racist. It sounds elitist. It sounds like we think of ourselves as a superior race. And if we didn't know history better, we would think that we would be the people who would have chosen perhaps to annihilate somebody else as opposed to being on the receiving end, because the whole notion of being chosen, at least on the surface, flies in the face of the idea of equality and respect for all men, for all people. So we want to look at that tonight. I want to begin by asking the question, why were we chosen? We're going to have to show and demonstrate that we were chosen. We'll get there soon. But why were we chosen? What was it about the Jewish people that had God choose us? So we've got plenty of material here for you to look at, and we're going to go through some of that. But there's something really that has to be said before we get to the material. And this is something that if you look at the Chumash, if you look at the Torah, the book of Bereshit, you'll find something very interesting. Why is Noah saved? Why is Noah saved when you have the flood? What was so different about Noah that made him deserve divine intervention, where Bill Cosby gets God tapping him on the shoulder? Noah, right? Why? What happened? What's so special about Noah? So the answer is, what? He was righteous. How do you know that? The book says so. You read the book. It says, Noach, v'noach matzah chayim b'nei Hashem. Noach found favor in God's eyes. Then when God speaks to Noach, he says, ki oscha ra'isi tzadik b'dor hazeh. I've seen you alone as righteous in this generation. And the Torah says, Noach ish tzadik, tamim hayah b'dor hazeh. Noach was righteous. Perfect, complete was he in his generation. The Torah tells you a lot of things about Noach and what makes him exceptional. Move on. So the flood is over. Noah, the three children have children. We go through 10 generations and we get to Abraham. And the Torah tells us that Terach had three sons, Abraham, Haran, and Abraham, Nachor, and Haran. And the Torah says that Abraham, Terach, and Abraham moved from one city to another. Then the Torah says, God said to Abraham, Lech lecha me'artzecha me'molatetcha, etc. Go thou from your land, from your birthplace, to the land which I will show you, and I will make you into a great nation. Why? What is there about Abraham that makes him unusual? There is nothing in the Torah that tells you anything about Abraham deserving to have God tap him on the shoulder and say, I'm going to make you a great nation. Nothing at all. Now, we all know that Abraham was this man who figured out that God exists. That's not in the written Torah. It's in Midrashim, in Medrash. We know that Abraham is the one who sets up a whole fight in his father's palace, his father's idol factory. between the big idols and the small idols, and they break and they had a fight, and Abraham tells his father they had a fight, and his father says, that's impossible, they're just idols. And he says, yeah, right, so what are you doing in the business of idols, etc. We know all these stories. We know that Abraham, Maimonides records a whole history, a whole biography of Abraham's first 40 years. But there's nothing in the written Torah whatsoever that would give us any reason to understand why God picks Avraham Avinu, our forefather, as the one who he's going to build a great nation out of. Why not? So this is something really very important. And let's pull back for a minute and think about any relationship, any committed relationship, any love relationship. There's something really tricky about real relationships. Let's say somebody you love asks you why you love them. Okay? If you answer that question, you're finished. Okay? It's really true. Why do you love me? If you give an answer to that question other than I love you because I love you, then you're over. It's over. I love you because you're beautiful. Oh, you mean if I mess up my face, God forbid, in an accident, you won't love me anymore? I love you because you're whatever. Oh, if that's... I love you because you're vigorous. I love you because you're intelligent. I love you because you're original. I love you because you're fun. Uh-huh. So do you love me on days when I'm not fun? Right? As soon as... And the sages say this, by the way. Any ahava hatsluya badavar. Any love that depends on a thing, batel hadavar batla ahava. When the matter is gone itself, when it ceases to exist, when the item ceases to exist, then the love itself ceases to exist. Why does God choose us? The only answer is God chooses us because He chooses us. I mean, I know this sounds a little crazy, but think about this for a minute. Why did God make man? I don't know. Torah doesn't say. God said, gee, the world looks great, but it's incomplete without man. I think I'll make man. No, He just says, let's make man. Now, when it comes to woman, that's another story. There, God says, we've got a problem, let's solve it by making woman. I don't know what He had in mind. That's another story. But there, at least, He gives a rationale, right? Over here, with the creation of man, there's not, God's a creator. He makes man. He says, I'm going to do it. He did. We don't ask why God created trees. God created trees. We read, okay, He created trees. I got it. Now I got, okay. Whatever there is, there is. That's the same with the people Israel. The people Israel is actually an initiative of God. The people Israel is part of God's creation. Let's pull back for a minute. There's a book called, what's the name of the first book of the Torah? Genesis. Genesis means the beginning, the Genesis, the origin, the start. Why does the book of Genesis go all the way to the end of the story of Jacob's descendants going down to Egypt and being in exile in Egypt and Joseph dying and being put in a coffin in Egypt? Why is that the end of Genesis? Genesis should have ended a long time before. Should have ended after the creation of the world, after 6 days or after seven. Why all the way after the story of Abraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and now his descendants, Yaakov goes down to Egypt, and now the book is over? So the commentators explain, Maharal of Prague, one of them, explains that the world isn't complete in its creation until you have a people Israel. Once the people Israel is in the world, now the world can reach its purpose. Until that time, the world doesn't have a reason to exist. The people Israel are going to bring the world to its fruition, to its full completion, and therefore Genesis isn't over until Israel is there. Says the Maharal, it's like creation itself. Israel is to the whole world what Shabbos is to the 6 days of creation. The world isn't completed after 6 days. The world is completed after Shabbos exists. Shabbos then redefines everything about the 6 days of creation and provides that completion. Similarly, the insertion of the Jewish people into the world is actually the completion of the basic ingredients for existence. And therefore, the Torah can't go through a developmental story about what it was about Abraham that made God pick him out. There are things about Abraham that made God pick him out. But if you say that God chose Abraham because, that means that Abraham and the development of the Jewish people was almost a divine reaction to human initiative. Human beings decided to act a certain way. God was inspired by Abraham's behavior. And he said, you know what, Abraham? I like what you're doing. I think I'll make a people out of you. Right? And, you know, and in so doing, it would totally invert the whole purpose of the creation of the Jewish people, which is not God reacting to the world. It's God actually creating the world. And therefore, the written Torah is not going to include anything that would have you think that people caused the Jews to exist. There was going to have to be a Jewish people. God's going to make that happen. And it's true. He selects Abraham because Abraham, through his initiative, shows that he's worthy of it. But the inevitability of the existence of a people known as the Jews was already there. And therefore, the Torah doesn't say Abraham found God, God liked that, God responded, God said, I'm going to make you into a great nation. It's got to be literally an initiative of the Almighty without cause. Otherwise, it would change the whole purpose and meaning of the Jewish people. So the truth is, the reason God chose the Jewish people is because he had to. Meaning that the purpose of the world would not be fulfilled unless there was a people dedicated to making his name known in the world. That's it. That's why he chooses us, because we're the people who are going to be able to do that. Now we'll see about what it takes to be able to do that and why he chooses Abraham and his descendants. But the point, that the real reason that God chooses the Jews is because God's making the world, and the world itself is fulfilled when the Jews are in it as his people. Now let's go to some of the material here. In section 1. First of all, the Torah almost says this. Look at the selection from Devarim, from Deuteronomy chapter 7. I read the English. Not from your great numbers has God desired you and chosen you, for you're the smallest of all the nations. For it was because of God's love for you and his guarding of his oath which he swore to your forefathers. Now, this, sometimes we glance over this passage, because of God's love for you. I know, but God, why do you love me? The answer again, if God says I love you because, then that means that I only love you as long as, and my love is a trade. You keep on providing me with something, then I'll give you back my love. Love is always something that's given freely. It's a choice. It's actually a gift. It's not something that's given in exchange for something. That's not love. That's a deal. It's a partnership. You do something, I'll do something. And I'll withdraw it as soon as you stop doing it. Love is an absolute commitment. So God says, it's because of God's love for you and his guarding of his oath which he swore to your forefathers. Which means, I made a promise to the forefathers, and that's why I'm taking care of you, says God, as Israel stands on the verge of entering the land of Israel. Don't think you're so great, is literally the intention of the passage. Don't think it's something about you that makes you so exceptional that God chose you. Moving on, a few sentences later, a couple chapters later, Rak ba'avosecha chashak Hashem. Only the forefathers did God cherish to love them, and he chose their offspring after them, you, from among all the peoples, as this day. Here also, because they're descendants of the forefathers. The forefathers were indeed exceptional because of their attitude towards the Almighty. But again, God is trying to tell the Jewish people, yes, you are chosen, and don't let that go to your head. Now this next selection from Rabbi Cooper Smith, who is the director of Eshet Torah International, is based on Derech Hashem. Derech Hashem is a sefer written by the Ramchal, Rav Moshe Chaim Lutzato, whom many of us know as the author of Pathway of the Just as well. He wrote a number of compilations that deal with very esoteric matters, combination of Kabbalah and philosophy. So here, Rabbi Cooper Smith is summarizing what the Ramchal in the Derech Hashem is saying, that there was special merit having to do with Abraham's personality, having to do with the way that Abraham extended himself, the way that Abraham was willing to carry the name of God to the world. And I'm going to the second to the last paragraph of this selection. The Midrash relates that when the Jewish people were poised to become one nation at Mount Sinai, God first offered the Torah to every nation of the world. Of them all, only the Jewish people wanted His Torah and the privileged closeness that came as a result of assuming the role of God's ambassadors to the world. Although that was the final opportunity for entire nations as a group, the door was left open for the individual. Any person, regardless of national or racial background, can merit the benefits of this privileged relationship with God by choosing to accept the Torah and become part of the Jewish nation. Now this Midrash, which we'll see a little bit later in greater detail, this Midrash is not just a fairy tale that says everybody misbehaved. They were offered this great deal and they said, nah, we don't want to be controlled by don't steal, we don't want to be controlled by morality, we don't want to be controlled by other limitations. The significance of that Midrash is something even much more profound than that. What that means is that the nations of the world see themselves as bound by the way they are at the moment. They don't see themselves as able to transcend their own natural inclination. They have an inert faith in their limitations. It's the uniqueness of the Jewish people that it says something in the Torah. That means God's the author of me. If He says I have to do that or can't do that, then I'm up to that. I'm big enough for that. And therefore the Jewish people understood there's this concept of transcending self, rising above the natural physical world in order to be able to relate to a being that is not of this world, who's actually the creator of the world but doesn't come from the world. So moving on, this Ner Le'elef, by the way, Ner Le'elef is the name of a organization in Israel which trains young rabbis or young potential rabbis to be able to articulate various concepts in Judaism, and then take positions around the world in education and pulpit rabbinate, etc. So here they articulate what we know from the Midrashim. God chose Avraham because Avraham chose God. From Noah until the Egyptians, the actions of man had banished spirituality to exist only in the removed planes way above. In turn, Avraham and his descendants gradually reversed this process, bringing spirituality back down into the world. Abraham was given 10 tests, and never in history had an unaided individual made such a complete break with his environment, overcoming all obstacles for a yet unknown faith.
Due to circumstances beyond our control, the remainder of this class was not recorded. We truly apologize.